2 months ago, and every day on the air since, I've told you things are different in Washington, D.C. This isn't the same Donald Trump, and I've been told by high-level DOJ they have every intention of indicting the deep state plotters who ran the Russiagate hoax coup plot. And now for the first time, the Attorney General, after the referral from Tulsi Gabbard at the Office of National Intelligence, has sent an indictment plan to an impaneled grand jury. This isn't like when people have made recommendations from the Senate for criminal investigations of Fauci and others. No, this isn't a criminal referral. This is Tulsi Gabbard's criminal referral going to the DOJ and now officially going with an indictment plan to a grand jury. We're about to lay it all out right now.
Fox News can confirm that Attorney General Pam Bondi today signed an order directing an unnamed U.S. federal prosecutor to take evidence to a grand jury relating to an alleged conspiracy to tie then 2016 candidate Donald Trump to the country of Russia. Now, Fox News reviewed the one-page order just hours ago signed by the Attorney General. A source familiar with the probe confirms this as well, while a DOJ spokesperson declined to comment on this report of an investigation. Fox is told Attorney General Bondi is taking the referrals from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, quote, very seriously. The spokesperson says that Bondi believes there is, quote, clear cause for deep concern, end quote, and a need for the next steps.
Monday, August 4th, 2025, it finally happened. It didn't happen in the first 4 years of the first administration, and it hadn't happened the first 194 days of administration. But now it finally took place today. Tulsi Gabbard last week made her criminal referral to the DOJ from her Office of National Intelligence as the director, with the total smoking gun proof, on top of all the proof we already had, that Obama ordered Crossfire Hurricane, knowing Trump was innocent, knowing his supporters and his administration were innocent, even before he won the presidency, when he had just become the nominee in Cleveland, Ohio, in July of 2016, to create the fake story that he was a Russian asset so they could try to discredit his administration and then finally impeach him. This is treason. And it never happened in the first administration. But now, because Gabbard put forward the referral, Pam Bondi has now referred it to an unnamed federal prosecutor in an unnamed jurisdiction. Now, this is the first time this has happened. There's been criminal referrals by Senator Rand Paul. There's been other criminal referrals by other agency heads. But this is the director of the Office of National Intelligence to the Attorney General, and within a week, Pam Bondi has now referred it. Now, is this more smoke and mirrors? Is Bondi running defense for the deep state? We'll find out, ladies and gentlemen. If they send it to D.C., if we find out they sent this referral for indictment, and the DOJ doesn't usually bring something to a grand jury unless they think they have the proof, they want an indictment, if it gets sent to D.C., that's like 97% Democrat, you know the fix is in. But in the last few months, talking to high-level federal prosecutors with these task forces and strike forces that have been set up, they said, no, Trump wants it done. We have the evidence. They're going to be releasing more of it. And if we have the evidence, which they now have, we are going to go for it. But they've got to get a grand jury to do it. And because of the way these strike force task forces operate, they don't have to refer something that is for individuals that reportedly committed the crimes in D.C., it can be done in other jurisdictions that were connected to it, like the area in Florida where they raided Mar-a-Lago with Jack Smith and the rest of it. And as I said months ago from my sources, we broke this. They've expanded out from 2016, 2017, 18 with the cover of a Russiagate. They're not just going for Comey, Brennan, Clapper testifying in front of Congress that, oh, they never spied and, oh, they weren't involved in the Russiagate thing. Proven perjury, that's a 5-year statute of limitations. But the major election meddling, covering up the Hunter Biden laptop, putting out disinformation, all of that serious crimes from 2020, and then the ongoing attacks on Trump, the raid of Mar-a-Lago by these very same people, and more, that brings it up to where we are now. And Jack Smith has officially been put under criminal investigation with a grand jury. That broke Saturday, and it goes on and on and on from there.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What has the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
It's Tuesday, August 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning. We're continuing to monitor the civil war taking place in the GOP and the Republican Party. We got some interesting developments on that front. A lot of stuff happened yesterday after our show ended. And we'll go through exactly what all of this portends. Where this goes from here. So we have a lot to talk about. We'll be joined by Brian Bodine in the third hour to talk about this civil war and its various manifestations. And we'll be taking your phone calls as well. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 5th of August, 2025. States that boycott Israeli companies will lose disaster relief funds, DHS says. This is what broke sort of shortly after the show yesterday. On Friday, Federal Emergency Management Agency grant notices require states to certify they will not sever commercial relations with Israeli companies. In April, the Department of Homeland Security said boycotting Israel is prohibited for grant recipients, targeting the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. At least $1.9 billion is conditioned on compliance with the Israeli policy, as outlined in 11 agency grant notices reviewed by Reuters. FEMA will require major cities to agree to the Israeli policy to access $553 million for terrorism prevention, with New York City set to receive $92.2 million. University of Pennsylvania Law Journal reports at least 34 states already have anti-BDS laws or policies, and more than 30 states require public entities to certify they will not boycott Israel. Now, apparently this has been reversed, although the way that they reversed it was a little bit dishonest. And the basically everything surrounding this is very suspicious and very strange and very objectionable and very poor timing and all of this. But of course, this has been the case for a very long time. I mean, we covered Hurricane Harvey disaster relief funds being withheld from certain companies who dared to not actively invest in the West Bank terror settlements of our greatest ally. And these are a few things you need to know about the boycott, divest, sanction movement. It is primarily, and it used to be exclusively focused on the West Bank settlements, which are illegal by any international law and indeed declare terrorist by certain official announcements. And it simply means that you don't actively participate in the funding of these settlements by withholding funds from companies that contribute to those settlements. So there's literally nothing offensive. It's just not actively contributing to something that you're against. And the Israeli lobby in our government basically using disaster relief funds as a blackmail or extortion tool, get companies and states. And we saw this with the San Marcos City Council not too long ago where they wanted to withhold money being sent to Israel, and the state basically forced them to send it. This has been going on for a while. We've been talking about it for a while. Why they would choose now to announce this, it's just utterly baffling. And truly, like, whether it's 5D chess or not, whether this was Trump's decision or not, we are actually in a situation where Trump is being so pro-Israel, it's making everybody anti-Israel. He's being so overt and overwrought in his dedication to serving Israel with absolutely everything we've got. Yesterday I saw, I mean, people that have defended Israel forever, just absolutely nobody was in favor of this. Everybody sees how ridiculous this is. And the people that are like diehard pro-Israelis just weren't saying anything, not even defending this. So I don't know what the real motivations are behind this. We will obviously continue to get into the, you know, Israeli divide between the GOP and Republicans. But I cannot figure out what their strategy is, because they're just doing everything they can to confirm people's suspicions that they are completely consumed by and under the absolute control of Israel, to a point that it's like you really can't ignore it and it's really bad. And even the pro-Israel people are like, what are you doing, Trump? Don't deny disaster relief over Israel. That's not making us look good. It's like, this is how it's been forever. And people are just, you know, realizing this is the case now. Again, we'll get into it later. All these headlines yesterday, the GOP rift in the GOP over Israel. It's like, you can just stop. Israel can stop genociding the Palestinians. They can stop starving children to death at any point. And all of the outrage against them would dissipate. A lot of it, at least. Or you could just stop rubbing it in our faces how much more you care about Israel than America. Like, it's really not that difficult. So I don't understand what their strategy is, but they're all freaking out. Oh my gosh, you know, the younger people don't support Israel. Let's go to Israel and kiss the wall. Maybe that'll help. Maybe if we, you know, cover up Epstein and call them stupid for caring about it, that will convince them. What if we join Israel in a bombing campaign against Iran for no benefit to America? Maybe that will convince. Maybe we'll just tell people to shut up. Send Cat Turd and the litter mates out to browbeat people and call them names for not wanting to starve children. And it's like, what is the strategy here exactly? You're basically just doing everything you possibly can to confirm what everybody is saying about you. And then you're mad that we're not being like browbeaten into submission. It just is very confusing. Personally, we'll get back into that later. Meanwhile, Governor Abbott orders arrest of absent Texas House Democrats. This is turning out to be another just complete mess. Texas Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott, announced Monday that he will try to remove Democratic lawmakers who left the state to block voting on Trump-backed congressional maps. This action follows dozens of Democrats fleeing Sunday to Illinois and New York to deny a quorum ahead of a Monday House vote on maps aiming to add five GOP-leaning Texas seats. Texas' 150-member House requires two-thirds presence to conduct business, but at least 51 Democrats holding 62 seats left the state, preventing votes and delaying disaster aid after recent catastrophic floods. Abbott referenced a 2021 legal opinion from Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton, though not legally binding, to assert the Democrats had lost their legislative seats and might have committed felonies, while Democrats dismissed his claims as baseless distractions without legal merit. The dispute escalated nationally, with New York Governor Kathy Hochul supporting the Texas Democrats and Democratic governors considering retaliatory map redrawing amid a wider partisan power struggle. So again, we can get into this. It's not exactly vague. I don't know what they mean. Like, this isn't legally binding. They took an oath of office to, you know, conduct the state's business. They're holding an emergency session to conduct state business, and they fled the state. I think they should just give up their seat. I mean, how do you not just remove their seats and just continue to do business? I mean, it would seem like the obvious way that you would prevent them from doing this again would be to just like pass things that are even more crazy and intense in their absence. Just show them, just like, okay, you can run away and then we're just going to pass whatever the hell we want because you're not here to stop us. So you can stay and do business and actually participate in the democratic process, or you can flee, try to upend democracy, you know, stop the state of the business of the entire state because of your, you know, anger at this redistricting, which is just very standard, you know, procedure. Ken Paxton says runaway Texas Democrats should be hunted down and arrested immediately. Good, you know, don't know why we have to keep talking about this. I mean, they should be arrested. Why are we talking about it? Why are we arresting them? It doesn't make any sense. But now, what you have is a bunch of Democrats, like, all over the country being like, well, we're going to redraw the map to give Democrats more power. And it's just the classic... The classic feedback loop where it's like we're trying to, I mean, Texas, out of any state, has probably had the largest demographic change over the recent past. Entire new neighborhoods cropping up, new cities being founded. Like, you got to redraw the maps at certain points. The maps in Texas already are gerrymandered beyond belief. Just take a look at my district. It goes from like North San Antonio up the 35 corridor, like South Austin. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But because Texas is just trying to redraw the map to actually make more sense, then the Democrats are just out there going, yeah, we're going to redraw the map to give more Democrats power. And it's just, this is just the way it always goes. It's just the way it always goes. The Democrats are upending democracy. They're a threat to our sacred democracy. Republicans are just trying to just do normal business, and the Democrats project onto them ulterior motives and then go do the thing that they say the Republicans are doing, even though the Republicans aren't doing it. The Democrats are doing it because they're lying about what the Republicans are doing. It's just exhausting, and I mean, we'll get into more stuff like this later. We'll try to finish out here, but like I genuinely, like, we got to do something about democracy. We got to do something about democracy. We'll get into it. It's just, maybe we'll just do it now. Because we can go to clip number four here. Democrat Representative Delia Ramirez at a summit in Mexico, speaking in Spanish. This is an American representative in our government, in Mexico. Here she is speaking Spanish. We can translate, but as long as you have a passing awareness of Spanish, it's pretty obvious what she says. Here's an American politician in Mexico giving a speech. Let's watch.
Quiero terminar diciendo unas palabras en español porque yo soy guatemalteca con mucho orgullo, primero que soy americana.
So what she said there is, I'm Guatemalan before I'm an American. Okay, so an American representative of the American people just said she's more Guatemalan than she is American. Not that this is particularly rare these days, where we've seen videos of no less than three Somali representatives saying exactly that same thing about Somalia. Don't worry, I'm an American politician, but Somalia is my first concern, and my position here is strictly just to use America to benefit Somalia. And we hear this over and over. What type of country puts up with this? How do we have, and like obviously get into Israeli dual citizenship, but how is it that you've got so many people in our government that just openly pledge allegiance to foreign governments? And when you really think about it, the issue isn't even with the politicians making these claims. It's the fact that Americans are voting for them. And so it's like, okay, it seems to me like any normal functional government if you had a member of that government going to a foreign country and saying, I pledge allegiance to you, I'm of this country before I am an American, seems like it'd just be perfectly proper and normal for that for the American government just to remove her from power, just instantly, without process or whatever, just impeachment, you're out. Seems like it should be easy. But then now you're talking about a federal government apparatus of some sort, overwhelming and denying the will of the people. Because people voted for it. People voted for that person. So what do you do in this situation? What do you do in a situation where you've got an American representative saying, I'm Guatemalan before I'm American, I have loyalty to Guatemala, and then they just keep winning elections. The American people think that's fine and keep voting for her. What do you do at that point? I genuinely don't know how you handle this without just becoming an empire. Without just going, yeah, we're not going to let people vote anymore because they keep voting in traitors. Like, we can't. How is a country supposed to survive when you keep electing literal traitors to office who just are openly loyal to another country over your own? What? Why should we, as loyal Americans, have to be governed by people who are not loyal to us? Even if, you know, enough brainwashed idiots slash, you know, traitorous Guatemalan citizens in their congressional district keep voting them into office. Now my government has to be ruled by some Guatemalan lady. I mean, do we need to reorganize into an empire? Like, do we just need to, like, call the end to this little experiment called democracy? Yeah, we tried. It just turns out you people are too stupid. Sorry. It's just, you can't run a country like this. You can't run a country giving power to people who elect Jasmine Crockett. That's just not the way the country should be run. Sorry, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. We'll get into more of it later, but what do you do? What do you do when people keep electing foreigners who hate our country? Why do we have to put up with this, and what is the solution? Meanwhile, AG Pam Bondi orders grand jury investigation into Russia collusion hoax. Bondi's Monday order is a response to the Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard's criminal referral 2 weeks ago. Bondi ordered an unnamed federal prosecutor to initiate legal proceedings, and the prosecutor is expected to present department findings evidence to a grand jury to secure potential indictment, reports Fox News, citing a DOJ spokesperson. Bondi is taking the referrals from Gabbard very seriously. The spokesperson said Bondi believed there is clear cause for deep concern and a need for the next steps. I'll believe when I see it. I mean, I would love to see the results of this being conviction by the grand jury and the initiation of, you know, a public trial. But I'll wait till that actually happens. Because the thing about grand juries is they're easily manipulatable either way. Like, the classic phrase is that, you know, you could indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury. Because with a grand jury, you don't have to adhere to the normal strictures of a criminal trial, because you're not actually getting a conviction. You're just getting the basis for the criminal trial. So you basically, you can manipulate the rules to present just the evidence that you want to present and not any contravening evidence. And so while grand juries can and are often used to indict people when there should not be an indictment, like the likes of Roger Stone or many other, you know, Trump loyalists persecuted by the Biden regime, you know, charged by grand juries in completely fraudulent cases, it's easy to get an indictment. It's also easy to not get an indictment. Grand juries are also what they use if they want to, you know, kill a criminal trial. If they don't want it to proceed, a grand jury is just as useful of a tool as if they want to proceed with illegitimate charges in the first place. So we'll wait to see the outcome of this. but I don't like that they're announcing. But I don't like that they're announcing it. Like they should just do it. Just stop talking about it. Just do it. We'll be happy when the grand jury decision comes down and there are subpoenas for Obama and Hillary and all the rest of them. Then we can celebrate. Till then, I'm not taking the bait. Like, oh yeah, grand jury, it's coming, it's happening. I can just see it now. I can see it now. Well, you know, we did a grand jury and they chose not to indict. So gosh, we tried our best. We worked so hard to try to stop, but they all got away with it again. Darn it. Guess we got to vote harder next time. It's like, just get the conviction, get the indictment, and then we'll talk. Okay, stop talking about what you're doing. Just do it. Just do the thing. Shut up. Just shut up, I guess, is the final thought on that. Meanwhile, Netanyahu to propose full reoccupation of Gaza, Israeli media reports. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has proposed to fully reoccupying the Gaza Strip when he meets his security cabinet, Israeli media says. The die has been cast. We're going to go full conquest of the Gaza Strip and defeating Hamas. Local journalists quoted a senior official saying, responding to reports that the army chief and other military leaders opposed the plan. The unnamed official says if that doesn't work for the chief of staff, he should resign. The families of hostages fear such plans could endanger their loved ones, with 20 out of 50 believed to be alive in Gaza, while polls suggest that 3 in 4 Israelis instead favor a ceasefire deal to return them. Many of Israel's close allies would also condemn such a move as they push for an end to the war and action to alleviate a humanitarian crisis. I guess we'll wait and see. It does not matter to the Israelis how you feel about what they're doing. I would hope that, if nothing else, has become abundantly clear over the last little bit of time that you either have to stop them or go along with them. They don't care. They don't care. All right. They literally write tweets saying, let them starve, when told about starving children. They don't care. Okay. So we can either stop them or we can go along with them. Those are the only options. Okay. We're choosing to go along with them, which is destroying America. And the people in charge of America seem okay with that, I guess. I mean, they're only doubling down constantly. And we talked about this all yesterday, talked about it with Rex. I don't understand their strategy. I don't get what they're trying to do here. They're writing articles that are saying, oh my gosh, it's panic time. The GOP is in civil war. You know, what are we going to do? You're cratering in the, amongst the youth. And then they just double down endlessly on all of the positions that are driving people away. So what is their goal? I mean, is their goal to win back the youth? Then why are they just continually doing the thing that's driving them away? Is their goal to just like drown out and beat down and just use the same tricks they normally do, calling names, to just force Republicans to abandon hope and just go with the Zionists because it's the only option? I mean, what is their plan? What is their goal? What are they trying to achieve? And why does it look like they're just destroying the Republican Party on purpose with their sycophancy?
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr.'s loves it. We've got the strongest ultimately blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So start going to take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago, and I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened to it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect, and then now, a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I'll take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at thealtruistwar.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long-distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing, a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. That's why I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, it made my vision better, and Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We'll take your calls in the second hour, joined by Brian Bodine in the third hour. Talk about some of the maneuvers, the machinations going on in the GOP in an attempt to tamp down on the rising power of America First. Maybe we'll go to some of these videos. Now, I'm not too sure what to make of this, other than to say that It shows a title shift. It shows I really don't know what it shows. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to figure out whether we got GOP events being disrupted by hardcore leftists, or if there is a title shift happening within the conservative movement. So I know I've gone through a bit of a transformation, not entirely. But certainly, over the last couple years, it's become pretty obvious that the argument for small government is just not, doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's like kind of a trick. And you see it over and over again where when they have to make cuts, they always make cuts, things that benefit you or would help you or something that you would actually want money going towards. And yet the money for war and whatever other ridiculous nonsense that helps nobody, benefits nothing, and half time is secret and under the table anyway. Just infinite money. Infinite money. And so right now, Republicans in office are still sort of holding on to the old paradigm. And I think people in the Republican Party are just sick of it. I think they're sick of hearing the excuses. And I think you'll see that in some of these responses. The story is all over the mainstream news. Vote him out. Town hall erupts in anger at Nebraska GOP congressman over Trump mega bill and other policies. You know, obviously the mainstream media is jumping on this and is making hay out of this. I'm not, you know, it's not my intention to help them spread that message, help them, you know, frame this. But it is very interesting. I mean, this is in Nebraska. We need some of our regular callers from Nebraska to call in the next hour to explain this. Basically, House Republican Mike Flood gave a town hall to about 750 members in the audience. And the crowd was extremely hostile. The crowd erupted within just minutes of the start of the forum, shouting and heckling at the congressman as he touted President Trump's massive policy and tax bill that was signed into law in July. Flood said there were about 750 members in audience at Kimball Hall, where he gave this speech, saying, quote, "I know I'm going to be met with some resistance. I want the opportunity to tell you and talk to you about the health care in the bill we just passed. I want to go right into this bill because I know there's something a lot of people have questions about. And quite frankly, from where I sit, there's been a lot of misinformation out there about the bill," Flood told the crowd, which received loud boos from the audience. He tried to walk the crowd through key health care provisions in the mega bill, but it was continuously drowned out by the raucous crowd. And again, I got to wonder, I mean, this is the type of thing that, you know, could easily be manipulated by the left. The issue is they're in deep red Nebraska. So you would expect there to be a lot of conservatives there in the first place. Of course, you can get, you know, 20 far leftists to go in, make a bunch of noise, make it seem like the whole crowd is turned against them. You know, I'm trying to figure out where the political divide is landing here, what people think is going on, what their actual outrage is. But I also want to note that this is not the first time this has happened. I believe if we go to clip number, let's see, we got a couple words. I think clip number 5, this was back in March or May of this year, I believe. Sorry, I'm just trying to see which ones. Okay, that's March 18th. So this was March 18th of this year. So, you know, this is not necessarily new. Something's happening in this Nebraska district. They're reporting on this as if this is a giant heel turn and everything was going great. And suddenly they're booing him last night. Nobody knows why. Well, here's a video from March of, you know, a similar town hall for Representative Mike Flood from Nebraska. Let's watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. That $36 trillion number is not going away. It is not going away unless we deal with Medicare and Medicaid. Let's remain calm. Ultimately, where we need to go is to a balanced budget. A balanced budget where we... How can you be against a balanced budget? How can you be against a balanced budget? All right.
They're right. Chanting tax the rich, I guess. So again, you can see the crowd. It's not everybody's involved. I don't even see the people chanting. Okay, so do we just have a few angry people taking over this town hall? Is that what's happening?
Let's talk about this. So your proposal to solve this is to tax the rich.
That's getting a lot of cheers. Okay, so is this just a couple of socialists taking over this town hall? I don't know, but I know I understand the boos. I understand the booze. And it's obviously dishonest framing. You're booing a balanced budget. Now, obviously, we're not booing a balanced budget. We're booing the fact that you're saying in order to get a balanced budget, we have to cut basic necessities that actually benefit the American people. Again, Social Security, Medicaid, I mean, these are Ponzi scams from the outset. They're the underlying reason why immigration is as high as it is, because they're both predicated on infinite growth, while the people who institute the financial system predicated on infinite growth do everything they can to lower birth rates and collapse the population. So, obviously, necessitates immigration, which has got us to where we are now. I got no love for Medicaid and Social Security. These are obviously big issues. But I'm not the only one who's sick of hearing about the budget every time it's something for us. Because that's what's happening here. Is every time the American people want something, it's, bah, we got to balance, I mean, but we got so much debt, we got to balance the budget. And anytime you want to send a couple billion dollars to Ukraine or a couple billion dollars to Israel or a couple billion or hell trillion dollars to USAID to spread gay awareness in Uganda, infinite money, not even a concern, not even a question, just dishing it out continuously. But now PBS has to shut down. Sorry, now we're closing PBS and we're spending five times the amount of money that we ever spent on PBS on missiles to bomb Palestinian children. And we get a little bit sick of hearing about how concerned you are with the budget. Okay? Just stop. I mean, this is, it's like the parent comes home with a brand new car and, $5,000 earrings going on vacation. And then they come home and go, sorry, kid, you can't go to summer camp. The money's just not there. Kids are like, well, what the hell? And they're like, you're against a balanced budget? You want us to go broke? It's like, it's not about the money. It's about where you're choosing to spend it. It's about when this problem of the budget, you choose to invoke it. And when you choose to ignore it, it's about the fact that the GOP at this point is doing everything it possibly can to destroy our government, it seems. I mean, well, what are they doing for the American people? I can't think of much. Deportations. All right. Those are happening, apparently. What else? But what else, though? So, again, I think this is indicative of, the overall political change in our country. I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is, what that means. Let's go to clip number six here. This is GOP Representative Mike Flood. This was the town hall yesterday that all the big stories are about today. Here's him trying to keep a handle on a very unruly and raucous Nebraska crowd.
Why did you cut SNAP and healthcare research?
We do not have unlimited money in the United States.
Again, look, I'm not going to take this room full of whoever it is in Nebraska as indicative of the sentiment all over the country, but I don't think it's that far off. I think if you get a random crowd of Americans from anywhere in this country and put them in a room, I think you're going to get a lot of cheers when the GOP representative is asked, why did you cut SNAP benefits and medical research? People aren't happy about that. And then you're going to get boos when the GOP rep says, in this case, we have no money. Sorry, no money for it. Infinite money for other things. No money for this, though. No money for that. So again, it's not that, it's that we do have infinite money. It's that you print money from air, and you have to an absolutely absurd rate. And let's not forget that like the majority of the debt that we are currently saddled with has all been put on our backs, loaded onto our cart since 2020, when the powers that be forced everybody to lock down and then printed a crap ton of money to make up for the shortfall. This is just entirely them. They made this, they forced you to stop working and then sent you a check and then go, bah, there's no money. Money isn't infinite. It's like, but it is though. But actually it is. And it's entirely arbitrary what you choose to have billions of dollars available for. And when you choose just to say, crap, we're out of money. Sorry. Nobody's buying it anymore. It's ridiculous. So again, this is why I think it is indicative of not just what's happening on the left, what's happening on the right as well. And I've always said, like, if you don't address these problems, where do you think they're going to go? Where do you think the voters are going to go? Where do you think the disaffected Americans who are sick of seeing their hard-earned money siphoned away, 50 to 60% of their paycheck going into the government who just sends it overseas or starts wars with it or uses it for a whole host of other just completely ridiculous concepts. Like, what is the plan here? What is the plan here for the GOP? You're going to cut all the things that help Americans. You're going to fund and empower all the things that don't help us. And when people get mad and want there to be some fairness in the system, you tell them, well, we're just out of money and you're not allowed to think that because that's socialism. They're gonna vote for the socialist. So what is the plan here? Maybe this is just a bunch of leftists interrupting a Republican town hall. I think this is much more indicative of just the American population at large not even having to do with parties. I think there's something very powerful happening right now where the parties are sort of, the edges of the parties are sort of shimmering and, you know, jolting in and out of existence. Like, we're in for a big mix-up. I think we're in for a big mix-up. I think there's a lot of people out there, like all these people in Nebraska. Like, we're generally on the same side, even if their ideas aren't perfect. We'll go to a few more clips. Let's go to clip number 7 here. This is the one that really went viral, him talking about healthcare and getting booed for it. Let's watch.
It talks about two big changes to the Medicaid program. One of those changes is that if you are able to work and you are able-bodied, you have to work. If you choose not to work, you do not get free health care. You do not get free health care. Okay. So here's a question. Do you think that people who are 28 years old that can work and refuse to work should get free health care? I don't think that a majority of Nebraskans agree with you.
You know, there's this trend in Republican politics recently, especially when talking about like Medicare and Medicaid. And it's that they will only go after regime-approved targets. And so they're constantly invoking this image of like the white dude who's playing video games all day at 28 and just living off the government. It's like, do you really think that's the issue here? You really think it's the young white guy is just choosing to live off government benefits because they're so generous to him? This is nonsense. And so what's happening here is that the powers that be, people like this representative, all representatives have a hand of guilt in this. They've made a society, an economic construction that's made a lot of people hopeless and made them feel like it's impossible to be meaningfully involved in their society. So while I'm not in favor of free healthcare, government-run healthcare, I've seen the horror stories from Canada and the UK. They find it's cheaper to kill you than actually cure you, and so they act on that, you know, equation. But at the same time, I totally get the outrage of young men who, like, have seen their economic trajectory completely stalled out, did everything right, and yet faced headwinds at every pass, were discriminated against when getting into college, were discriminated against while they were in college, just hold their nose, just, you know, grin and bear it, get through it. Now they're not getting hired, either because they're white or because they're American, and companies are hiring foreigners or non-white people to comply with some ESG score that's been allowed to take root. And so, I, you know, most of these guys want purpose, want meaning, want to contribute, end up being basically forcibly ejected from society and take solace in things like video games where they can actually feel accomplished, even if the accomplishment are pixels on a screen. At least it's better than being beaten down and browbeaten and then told how privileged you are. So yeah, they're dropping out of society, and then you want to get mad at them for that. And you tell them they're not allowed to. So they need to be beaten and disadvantaged and undercut and robbed continuously through their tax dollars while constantly everybody else is coddled, everybody else is benefited, everybody else is helped up and given a hand and given free stuff and have communities that serve each other and work for them. And you've got representatives like this standing up and going, you don't deserve health care because you're not willing to work in this incredibly unfair and hateful system that we've designed to exclude you specifically. And even though welfare is massively more consumed in a per capita basis by immigrants, by non-white people, by, you know, families of seven, they're never the ones that, you know, the GOP talks about removing the healthcare from. It's the young guys who have been systematically removed from American society because of how they were born and who they are. So sure, maybe there's just socialists that just want universal healthcare because they're dumb. But is this really, again, it's the idea that we don't have any money for you. We have any money for you. Sorry, there's no money for you. Plenty of money for everything else. Plenty of money for the people that hate you. Plenty of money for the people that are robbing you. Now, the you know, other aspect of this is that the socialists, the tax the rich types, are just in a world of complete delusion and genuinely think that the positions they hold are somehow at odds with the billionaires when they're literally the foot soldiers for the billionaires. So there is this dichotomy taking place. But we got a few more videos. Again, just to hear what this looks like, not from the microphone, but from a camera standing in the crowd. Clip number 8, GOP Rep. Mike Flood's town hall drowned him out continuously. Here's what it looked like in the crowd. So let's go to clip number 9 here. This is a representative being asked by a Nebraska citizen a very pointed question. Clip number 9.
I, Rosina, I write you emails with concerns of your voting behavior regarding Trump and his actions. You support him, especially confirming the cabinet. Your responses are riddled with misinformation and lies. I fact check you, and then I send the responses back. And I get crickets if I am fact checking them because they are wrong in your response. I send them back to you, and I get crickets. I get kind of bummed. And this is not about partisan. This is about issues, because we're about to lose our democracy. My question is fiscal. With $450 million FEMA dollars being reallocated to open alligator Alcatraz and $600 million taxpayer FEMA dollars being used to now open more concentration camps and ICE burning through $8.4 million a day to illegally detain people, how much does it cost for fascism? How much do the taxpayers have to pay?
So then you see stuff like that, and you're like, okay, these people are just stupid. We got to spend money to build deportation camps because you people opened the borders and flooded our country with 100 million foreigners that don't belong here and are breaking the law. So we have to get them out. That's your fault. That's your fault, actually, for that. And the price that we have to spend to deport them is a fraction of the amount that it would cost to keep them here. So you can shut up about that. But it does contribute to everything else I'm talking about, is that we apparently have trillions of dollars to spend funding the importation of all of these people. And then somehow we can't use that money to get them out. Somehow there's no money to get them out. We got to build all new camps to get them out. It's just, I mean, none of this makes any sense. It's all just insanity. And then we're never going to solve any of it because half of our population are morons like that, that think it's fascist to deport illegal immigrants. They think that you can just let in an infinite number of foreigners and that we have to pay for it and it's our tax dollars that go for it and that there's going to be no negative consequence of that. And then we can just continue to spill forth our hard-earned money forever for everybody else. Again, God only knows what's really going on in this country. The GOP is not fit for purpose. They do not have any serious solutions to any of the problems that we're identifying. And their only argument is it costs too much money, which falls completely flat when we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars in Ukraine in Israel and everywhere else that doesn't actually matter or affect us. So, again, I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know what we do at this point. But democracy's obviously not the way. And that's kind of a scary thought, but like, you hear these people and then do you see the responses?
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back and then some simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check there's interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cubanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.